We have spent the last several weeks in our church services talking about the Ten Commandments. Tonight we're up to the Eighth Commandment, which is one of God's special gifts to us, His gift of a good name or the reputation that you and I have. God wants us not only to protect our own good name, but to help others to be able to do the same. And when you and I are doing that, we're showing our love for God and our love for one another. We have the privilege tonight of having two baptisms, so we'll begin with our baptism service. We'll follow the order that you have printed in your bulletin and on the screens, and I'll ask you to respond in the words that are in bold print. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God, and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptism, he clothes us with a robe of righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we speak these words. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As baptized children of God, we confess our sins. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this evening is an Old Testament lesson from Exodus chapter 6. You and I are familiar with the name Lord, just capital L and then small O-R-D. We hear that name used a lot in the New Testament that refers to Jesus as our Master, our Lord. Well, when that's all capitalized, Lord, that's a special use of God's name. And he's emphasizing the fact that he's a covenant God. He keeps his promises. Well, he kept promises to the people in the Old Testament, guided them throughout their lives. The Lord is still doing the same thing for us today. He is our Lord. He is our promise God, guiding us to that wonderful land of heaven. Then God spoke to Moses, telling him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as mighty, as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I was not known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land where they were residing as aliens. I certainly have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians have enslaved, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, tell the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the forced labor of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from being their slaves. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out from under the forced labor of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Our psalm reading is Psalm 34, regardless of the circumstances in your life and mine. We know that we can always count on the Lord and praise Him for His love and care in our lives. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. In the Lord my soul will boast. The humble will hear and rejoice. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. From all my terrors He delivered me. His people look to Him and are radiant, and their faces will never blush. This poor man called, and the Lord heard. From all his distress the Lord saved him. The angel of the Lord camps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is everyone who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, since those who fear Him lack nothing. Young lions may lack food and be hungry, but those who seek the Lord do not lack anything. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who wants to find pleasure in life? Who would love to experience many good days? Guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord watch over the righteous. His ears listen to their cry. The face of the Lord is set against those who do evil, to cut off memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. From all their distress He delivers them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirits have been crushed. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Our next scripture lesson is from Romans chapter 11. Here the Apostle Paul is finishing off this section in Scripture with some words of praise for God. It's only a gracious God who could take the disobedience of people and then use it as an opportunity to show mercy. And that's what God certainly did. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how untraceable His ways. Or who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His advisor? Or who has given first to God that He should be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Our final reading is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 16. If someone has no faith, there's no way that they can understand that Jesus is more than just a prophet, just a man. But when you have Christian faith, you realize that Jesus needs to be more than a man in order to save us, true God and true man in the same person and at the same time. The disciples understood that, and they put their faith in Jesus. And that's what Jesus does today. He gives us that kind of faith to believe who Jesus is and builds His church on that confession of faith. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But you, who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then He commanded His disciples not to tell anyone that He was the Christ. God's word for our study and encouragement is the eighth commandment. It's recorded in Exodus 20, this time verse 17. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Dear fellow worshipers, several years ago, I read an article in a newspaper about a man that had been accused of murder. It made national news because the person that he supposedly murdered was a police officer. There was a court trial. There was a lot of evidence. And in the end, this young man was found guilty of murder and sentenced to the death penalty. He was taken off to prison and he spent 7 years on death row. And then it all changed. Somehow there was new evidence, and it was found out that this young man had not committed the murder at all. It was somebody else who had done it. And now everything changed. This young man was freed to be able to get out of prison, and this other guy was thrown into jail in his place because he had committed the murder. Can you imagine how that whole process, all those years, the court trial, the accusations, being on death row, how that would have impacted this man's reputation? I'm sure even family and friends had a hard time believing that he was innocent with all the evidence that was there. All the things that were said, all the things that were done to make it look like this young man had committed the murder when it was really somebody else. It doesn't surprise me, I guess, that people will go to any lengths at all. They'll do anything against other people just to try and get their way. Every day that you and I live here, we have opportunities to interact with other people. Might be our friends, might not even be people that we don't even know, really. But we have the opportunity to do what God is asking us in the Eighth Commandment, and that is to protect the reputation of others as we want our own reputation to be protected. God considers it so important that on Mount Sinai with Moses, one out of the Ten Commandments was about our reputation. That's what we want to spend a few minutes talking about tonight. What a privilege that you and I have once again to put our faith into action and honor God as we protect His gift of a good name. The Eighth Commandment is all about reputation for ourselves and for others. Our reputation is really important for us because it says a lot about who we are. If I have a bad reputation, I'm not going to look good to other people. Maybe they're going to question my character or who I am. Maybe my reputation is looking so bad that I might not get a job, or maybe I have a job taken away. It's a terrible thing to have a bad reputation. And that's why God gives the Eighth Commandment. He wants to protect people's reputations. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And then this is the explanation that comes from Luther's catechism. Luther says we should fear and love God that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, or give him a bad name. How do you break the Eighth Commandment? You tell lies about other people. Remember the Bible story about Joseph and the coat of many colors? Joseph was the favorite. That was Jacob's fault, the father's fault. And his older brothers just hated Joseph. And one day when they saw Joseph coming out to check on them while they were away from home and out in their fields, the brothers said, okay, we're going to get our revenge now. And so they took Joseph and they sold him as a slave and he got taken off to Egypt. Remember what the brothers told their father about what happened to Joseph? They took that coat of many colors and kind of tore it up, and then they killed a goat. They put goat's blood on it, and then they took it back to their father and said, look, a wild animal must have eaten your son. They lied. And Joseph got taken off to Egypt and was a slave there for probably 20 years or more. In the New Testament, they lied about a man named Stephen. Stephen was preaching about Jesus and telling people about the gift of salvation, and the Pharisees didn't like it. So they started trouble. They started telling lies about Stephen to some of the people in the town, and the people in the town got so riled up, they ran Stephen out of town and threw rocks on him until he died. They treated Jesus the same way, didn't they? When they didn't like what Jesus was doing or what he was teaching, his enemies tried to drum up lies about who he is or what he can do or why he came to the earth. When you and I tell lies about others, we break the Eighth Commandment too. God doesn't want us to tell lies. He wants us to speak the truth. Another way that we can break the Eighth Commandment is by gossiping. I know you know the word. Do you know a good definition for gossiping? I looked it up in the dictionary, and this is what I found. Gossiping means that you are a person that repeats idle talk and rumors about the private matters of other people. So you're repeating things that you hear, and you're talking about things that are really none of your business. Well, gossiping leads to a lot of rumors and innuendos and things that people aren't really sure about, and it's really not helpful to anybody. The Apostle Paul talks about that in his letter to Timothy, and he's talking about people that Timothy knows. He says they get into the habit of going from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, meaning they're not doing anything, but also gossips and busybodies saying things that they ought not to say. The Lord doesn't want us to be gossiping about others. How do you break the eighth commandment? You betray someone. Maybe you share some secrets with somebody, or you confide in someone about a problem that you're having, and your friend decides to tell everyone else about it and tell everyone what's going on in your life. You'd feel very betrayed. And maybe your reputation would be damaged. That is not something that God wants us to do. How do we break the eighth commandment? By slandering other people. Slandering means that I say things about someone so that they look bad. It could be untrue things. It could even be something true. All of these things, whether it's lying about people or gossiping or betraying, or whether it's slandering someone, you know why all of those things happen? It's basically because I want to make myself look better and that person look bad. And that desire can be so strong that you don't really care what happens to their reputation. You just want to have things your way. How does God want us to live when it comes to protecting our good name and the good name of other people? Well, Luther goes on in his explanation to the eighth commandment. We should fear and love God that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, or give him a bad name, but defend him, speak well of him, and take his words and actions in the kindest possible way. The times when people talk about someone is when that person is not around. They're not there, so people talk about that person. Well, God doesn't want us to do that. If I'm in that circle of friends, God wants me to defend them. There's all kinds of things that people could say, but there are ways to defend them too. I am to speak well of them. It's awfully easy to pick out each other's faults and to find something where we failed, or maybe look at someone's appearance or something about them that we don't like. It's easy to do that. But speaking well of them, speaking positively about them, speaking in a way that's going to encourage someone, that's really what God wants us to do. And then I'm to take their words and actions in the kindest possible way. People say things to you and me all the time that you could take one way or the other. Someone says, "I like your haircut." Well, we're to take that as a compliment, aren't we? But in a negative way, maybe I'm thinking, maybe they don't like my haircut and they're just saying that to be nice. "I'll come and help you out your house tomorrow." Well, if you got something big going on at your house, you might appreciate that. That would be a positive thing to have a friend come and help. But in a negative way, you're tempted to think, "Well, don't they think I can handle the work myself? What do they think? I'm not able to do it?" God wants you and I to take things in a positive way, to take people's words and actions in the kindest way that we can. And that means we're not thinking bad thoughts. We're not trying to get bad things out of it. We're taking people at their word and trusting that they're looking out for us as much as God wants us to be looking out for them. Well, the eighth commandment, it's like every other commandment that we've studied so far. It's so hard to live as a Christian and follow this commandment and protect others' reputations. So how do we do it? We do it first by loving God. Maybe you've noticed the pattern in the explanations to the commandments. It always starts out the same. We should fear and love God that we do not. Fear and love God. We fear and we stand in awe of God and what who He is and what He's done for us. And then we love God. And if you and I truly love God, well, then we're going to love each other too. And our neighbor isn't just the person across the street from us or next to us. It's really anybody. It's our fellow Christians. It's anyone that we come across. We fear and love God. And when we love God, we're going to love our neighbor. This is 1 John 4, verse 20. "Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." We can do this by loving God, and then we'll love others. How do we use the eighth commandment properly? How do we follow what God wants us to do? Well, we put ourselves in our neighbor's place. Would you and I want to be talked about in a negative way? Would we want to be accused of things or have our words twisted or whatever it is that people want to do, slandered or lied to or betrayed? None of us would want that, and our neighbor doesn't either. God wants you and I to treat others as we would want to be treated ourselves. And that's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6. He says, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." One more thing to help us live as Christians and keep the eighth commandment. That's to remember why we're here. God brings us into this world and He gives us our time of grace. We talked about that in the fifth commandment, how precious earthly life is. This is our time to come to faith. And once we have our faith, this is our time to serve the Lord. And I could be negative about it. I could do all the wrong things, and that's not going to be helpful to me or to anybody else. But when you and I live as Christians with the Lord's help, now it becomes a positive thing. God wants you and I not to look for the bad in people, but to look for ways to reach them. If you and I are kind to others, let's say they're total strangers. Well, they don't experience it that often in a sinful world. If you and I are living like Christians and showing them Christian love, you never know. We might have an opportunity to talk to them about more than just whatever we're dealing with. Maybe it's an opportunity to talk to the Lord about them or to the Lord with them. When you and I are living like Christians, that helps our fellow Christians too. We all need encouragement from time to time. We all need strengthening that comes through the power of God's Word. When you and I are there to encourage and speak positively about each other, that's a faith-strengthening thing that God gives us. You know who else has helped when you and I speak positively? Maybe people that have strayed away from church for a while. I've dealt with a lot of people that are away for a while and they're afraid to come back to church. What are people going to say about me? What are they going to ask me? Things like that. You know, if you and I are kind to them and welcome them back with open arms and we're positive about them and forget about the past, that goes a long way in them realizing that this is where they need to be with the rest of us here in God's house. God has given us our reputation, and it's a gift from Him. He wants us to do all we can, not only to protect our own reputation, but to do that for others as well. Out of fear and love for God, we want to follow His command and know that we're pleasing Him in the things that we're doing. Everybody that has a Christian family, usually they have things in their house that show their faith. A lot of us have crosses in our house, different plaques and things. Have you ever seen this plaque with this saying on it? It says, "Christ is the head of this household, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation." I've seen that a few times in people's homes. And I like that. Jesus is the head of the house. He's the unseen guest every time we're eating. He's the silent listener to every conversation. He's always there with us. No matter where it is or when it is, He's always there with us. Well, that's very comforting. It's also a little frightening. He listens to every conversation. Every one, every word. And that means that He's heard that you and I have not kept the eighth commandment. God wants us to take this seriously because if we love the Lord, we're going to love to live in a way that pleases Him. And where you and I have failed to keep any of the commandments, the good news is that Jesus has kept every one, even the eighth commandment. Can you imagine the temptation that Jesus had to call down curses on His enemies? To say bad words to them, to wish evil on them. He had the power. He could have done it. All of His pain and suffering was undeserved, but He never did. And how thankful you and I can be. Jesus has kept the commandments perfectly while you and I have failed. And that's our great comfort because that means the Lord forgives us and then encourages us to live as Christians each day. So a lot of people out there that don't care what they say about others, don't care about anybody's reputation but their own. Thank the Lord that we can see that our reputation is a gift from God. and we are the ones that can live in a way that pleases the Lord. And as we protect others' reputations, they will do the same for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be your children by faith in your Son, Jesus. Support our faith and keep us ever as your children, as heirs of eternal life. Increase the love that we have for Jesus, who loved us first and gave himself up as an offering for our sins. Give us the Holy Spirit in rich measure, so that by his help we may follow you and increase in our faith and also follow your commands. Father, keep us, we pray, from every form of idolatry. Help us with every word that we speak and every deed that we do to glorify your name. How precious is the Bible! You gave it to us by inspiration. May we never neglect to read it for ourselves or fail to hear it taught and preached. Bless our parents with zeal and wisdom to instruct their children in your holy word and to administer proper discipline. Help us to honor and obey all whom you have placed over us, that by a righteous life, a Christian life, we may live in peace and quietness and set a godly example for others. Give us an unselfish love toward our neighbor so that we do not speak hateful thoughts concerning him and treat him wickedly. Enable husbands and wives to love each other and to be faithful to their marriage vows. Help us to respect the rights and property of others and always be ready to promote their welfare. Set a watch over our hearts, Lord, for the eighth commandment. Guard our lips so that we do not think or speak evil against our brother and our neighbor. Father, we truly deserve only your anger and punishment because of our many sins. We've broken all of your commandments. Forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus, who kept the law perfectly in our place and gave his life on the cross to pay for all of our sins. We ask this in his name. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things that you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.